crazy storm.
I'm Peter.
And I'm Felice.
Welcome to our travel podcast. We're specialist travel writers, and we've spent half a lifetime exploring every corner of the world.
So we want to share with you some of our extraordinary experiences and the amazing people we've met along the way.
This week, we're back on the slopes in Le Grand Bornand, midway through this topsy-turvy ski season where European temperatures seem to yo-yo dramatically as snowfall is either huge or virtually non-existent. That, of course, depends on where and when you go. When we arrive at the end of January, the mercury reads minus 12, and when we leave a week later, it's plus 12. Climate change is a reality.
Le Grand Bornand, it's not a name like Morzine or Chamonix that trips easily off the tongue when we mention skiing, but it's typically traditionally French. It's a resort that's part of a big ski area. La Clusaz is the bigger neighbour, but they share a live pass, and there's a solid snow record and reasonable prices too.
It also has one of the shortest airport transfers in the Alps, and in this changing world of post-COVID travel, that, to my mind anyway, is very important indeed.
Yes, our journey there from Geneva Airport, using the resort's own minibus shuttle, took under an hour and cost €41 each. What does a shared transfer to bigger resorts like Val d'Isère cost, for example?
I can tell you because I've just booked one, €85. Mind you, it's rather more than twice the distance and takes 3 hours. The trouble with a post-COVID ski holiday is travel. Choosing a resort is one thing, but you've got to get there and you've got to get back. Perhaps you haven't noticed, but some 80% of ski holidays that were inclusive of travel disappeared during the pandemic. True, there's some newcomers now, but Esprit, one of the biggest names in family skiing, with its child-friendly chalet hotels and inclusive flights, will not be operating next season. There's lots of reasons, and Brexit, of course, is one of them.
Of course, back in November 1994, it all seemed very simple. I mean, who needs air travel when you've got direct trains? The Channel Tunnel opened and we welcome the new stress-free travel between London and the Alps. But 30 years later, it's a shambles and it's also very expensive.
Yes, you can take a train to Moutier or Bourg-Saint-Maurice, but sadly not directly anymore. You have to go via Paris and you need to switch stations for your onward journey. Ever tried that one in the rush hour with luggage and kids in tow? A slightly more direct service via Lille instead of Paris opened amid much fanfare last December, but it ran for just 6 weeks, stopping before the main high season period began.
Yeah, you can take the tunnel or ferry and drive. That's okay if you've got some extra holiday time to spare. And also, you need a carload of people to make it financially viable.
But flying is usually the premier choice, and that brings us back to Le Grand Bornand, which is in the 230-kilometre Aravis ski area, close to Chamonix, but only half an hour from the delightful lakeside town of Annecy. And, as we've said, on a good day, it takes around 55 minutes to get here from Geneva Airport.
Our visit this winter has come about because of our friends Alan and Claire. They drove from England to Geneva for work and they wanted a one-week ski break. Importantly, they needed to commute midweek to and from Geneva. So where should we go? They asked us.
We phoned a friend. Xavier Schuller is the boss of British ski tour operator Peak Retreats. Xavier is French, and when he started his company in 2002, he used his insider knowledge of the ski industry to introduce the British to a whole range of lesser-known resorts in the French Alps. Easy, he said. Go to Le Grand Bornand. You won't regret it.
In fact, it's one of the most popular resorts in France for the French, but we all liked it. We're in Les Terres Rouges, which means the red ground because there's a lot of iron.
And there's also a lot of people in here and it's very noisy, but we'll do our best to have a chat with our friend Christian here, who's been taking us around the resort today. And Christian is a ESF instructor and a racer and the most amazing skier. How long have you lived in Le Grand Bornand?
Been living here since 20 years now, 8 years as a ski instructor.
Well, it's obviously your home resort. So tell us a bit about the skiing, first of all. What's it like here? Is it a good ski resort?
Yeah, it's a good ski resort. What I like the most is all the different things we can have. It's good for beginners, good for good skiers. There's lots of variety in the skiing. That's really nice.
And do you have a favourite piste?
I would say Piste 2000, one we did this morning. The snow is always really good on this one, and it's one of the longest in the resort. It's a good red run.
We're quite low in altitude here, aren't we?
Yeah, quite low. The top of the resort is 2,000 metres, and the lowest we can get with the skiing is 900 metres.
And do you have a favourite off-piste run?
Yeah, there's a lot. I really like a little corridor, which is called Couloir à Deloche. It's quite accessible, but it's nice, and you feel like out of the resort, even if it's into it.
Is it a difficult entry?
Not too bad. It's sort of black, but quite narrow.
Is that the same as the free ride area, or different?
It's a different one. It's from the top of La Floria.
So tell us about the free ride area. I know this is Le Grand Monon is very famous for its free ride sector.
So it's a safe area. They make all the avalanche go down on purpose. It's quite wide. It's sort of the side of the mountain. You can ski wherever you want. It's a free ride area. So safe, not groomed, not too many tracks usually. It's pretty good.
Mountain restaurants. There's quite a lot of mountain restaurants here, aren't there? Is there one that you like in particular?
Yeah, I like one, Le Chamois, which is full today. Sadly, really nice food, the people are really nice, and it's at the bottom of the slopes, so even people not skiing, they can come really easily. It's a very nice one.
We're staying in Les Chalets de Joye, the village of Le Grand Monon, because that's actually divided into two parts, and we're up with a very nice view. We're not right in the centre. It's a bit of a walk, but it's not too bad.
They're a really nice apartment, very close to the main lifts, and yeah, a good position to be.
And they're brand new.
And we've got with us our friends Alan and Claire. Alan, what do you think of it?
It's a very well finished apartment. I've stayed in a lot of apartments in the Alps. It's typical of any apartment. It's beautifully finished. It really could probably do with I'm the cook, so the kitchen kit could be a little bit better. I'd like a sharp knife.
And it has a spa, and Claire's been going to the spa every day.
I love it because after a day skiing, your legs are quite tight and sore, and you can relax in the pool, work your muscles out, and then go in the sauna. And then there's one of those really deep pools that are freezing cold. And then you come back and you have a dressing gown supplied and towels. It's just really easy and relaxing. You feel refreshed for the evening.
One thing I really like about the apartments is, this is very boring, but the parking is great. You go to places and the parking's difficult, but this is underneath the chalet. You get a code, it all works. There's a nice place to park. The car, it's warm. There's little trolleys to take your luggage up to the apartment. There's a lift that works. It's not smelly. It's not dirty. It's cool parking. And so if you're going to drive from the UK, you're two hours less than going to Courchevel, 3 hours less than going to Val d'Isère. It's very, very close to Geneva. I mean, if you were to fly into Geneva and hire a car, it's an hour.
Yeah, that's very quick.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very accessible. And it's great skiing.
Yeah, let's talk about the skiing. It's a very interesting ski area, isn't it? What do you think, Fliz?
It's not huge, but on your lift pass, you've got La Clusa as well. So you've got plenty for a week. And it's really best for families, I think, because big nursery slope, and apparently there's a green run almost everywhere, or a blue run, so people of all standards can get all around the ski area, which is great. And there is also good skiing for experts. We haven't been on it, but there is a free ride area. The snow doesn't look great for that at the moment.
That said, we've had blue sky days, and it's been some serious good pea skiing.
Yeah, I certainly haven't been bored at all.
Alan and Claire, you've skied all over the place. You spent a season in Courchevel, and you've skied in lots of other places. You're expert skiers. What do you think of a resort like Le Grand Monon, which is much smaller, and frankly, no one in Britain really has heard of it? What do you think, Claire?
I think it was very good, because on the first day, we were able to ski the whole resort very easily and enjoy it. And if I had friends with me, I think they would have all coped as long as they were a basic skier. It was really nice and good views high up, good snow, a variety of slopes. Some of the black runs were closed today because it's a bit icy, but absolutely fabulous.
How many times today did you hear English spoken on the mountain?
Not very often. I can't think today if I did hear an English accent. And we went in a few lovely cafes to have hot chocolates and some lunch. Probably two or three times, perhaps.
I think the accessible off-piste looks really good. If there was plenty of powder around, there's lots and lots of bowls around the runs where you've not got to know the way and go off the back and have a guide. And there's loads of it that looks great. It looks really good.
One little criticism is that I don't think the piste are very well marked. We've found it hard. We've had to have Alan as our guide because he's good at finding his way around using the map. But the signposts aren't always that good. We almost got lost on our way back today.
Yeah, I think the signage around the mountain could do with a few little tweaks, but it's a minor criticism overall. Claire, what do you think?
I think it's been a very friendly resort, actually. When you get to the lifts, everyone's accommodating. They smile, say bonjour, help you onto the lifts. And I've enjoyed it. Everyone's been very welcoming. When the instructor was with us yesterday, it was great because he was telling us about what it's like in the summer and they do mountain biking. And you had a really good feel of how pretty it would be with all the cows. And there's one run with lots of bells on it that you can ring as you go down. So I thought it was almost like a secret little village in the mountains. It's great.
One of the interesting things, I think, is that this is a very, very French resort. I mean, the number of other nationalities that come here is very small. I think I'm right in saying that 85% of the visitors here are French, and you very rarely hear English being spoken on the mountain. We're not the second nationality in the 15% of other people. The Belgians are the second, and then us. So I think we're probably about 5% of winter traffic here, which is very small compared to other resorts. I think that's the best thing. We've come to France to ski. Let's ski in a French resort.
I think if I was in a position where I was bringing a young family or grandchildren, it's great, because the whole accessibility, the easy stuff, it's French prices, but it'd be great with a young family.
Yeah, I reckon it's about a quarter cheaper than anywhere in the Haute Tarentaise. That's the area around Bourg-Saint-Maurice and Moutier and Val d'Isère, Les Arcs, La Plaine, Courchevel. And you can, of course, come here in summer. I think there's lots of nice hiking and things. And something like 40% of the annual tourism here is in summer. So that says a lot about a resort.
And the 60% who come in winter, quite a lot go ski touring. And there are all sorts of other things to do.
I mean, if you were thinking of coming here in the summer, one of the great advantages would be you are 25, 30 minutes from Annecy. And Annecy is a beautiful town. And there's this huge lake you can stay here. There's mountain biking, there's walking, there's Annecy down the road. There's a day out in Geneva. It's a good summer place.
This is one of the cheese capitals of France here, with Reblochon, which is the local cheese, which you can buy in supermarkets all over the world. And it comes from this valley. Actually, it comes from Le Grand Bonnon and has done since the 13th century.
There's also a golf course here Alan might be interested in.
Yeah, apparently there's a really good golf course here, so that's something for you to come find out about.
Well, I didn't know there was a golf course here, so I'm hoping this podcast might generate the golf club offering me a weekend of playing golf.
Well, you never know, do you? All you can do is play it to them and see what they say.
Good idea.
And just going back to the cheese for a minute, there's an old tradition around here saying that in summer there are more cows on the mountain than there are people. But we learned today, actually, that's simply not true. There's
2,500 people to every 1,000 cows.
The locals here proudly claim that they invented rural tax dodging long before the advent of the EU's common agricultural policy. Back in the 13th century, the nobles and the bishops who owned all the land around here introduced an annual milk tax on the peasants. When the tax inspectors turned up to count the milk churns, the canny farmers only half-milked their cows. After dark, when the inspectors had gone, the second stage of milking began, and they found that the milk was much, much creamier, ideal, in fact, for cheese-making, and Reblochon was the result. I can tell you that the literal meaning of the word, in the local patois presumably, is to pinch a cow's udder again. Amazing what you can learn from Google.
Yeah, the one thing we haven't, of course, touched on is that there are two Le Grand Bonnons.
There's Le Grand Bonnon Village, where we're staying, which is traditional, with a central old square and a nice church. And then there's Chinaillon, which is where most of the French people like to stay because it's more convenient.
It's more convenient for the slopes. It's got instant chairlift access up the mountain. Whereas our end of it, there's two gondolas they go up, which makes it very nice. But coming back down, it's quite limited in terms of access. You have to be a good skier, I think, to go down from one of the gondolas. I don't know about coming back from the other easier area. But certainly to where we're staying, there's no piste down. Which of the two Le Grand Bonnons would you stay in?
Definitely the one we're in now, the village.
I think what would sum it up for me is it's a smallish French resort designed to look after the people rather than a large resort designed to make money. I'd say this is it's a little secret, this place. I don't think a lot of British people know about it, and certainly worth thinking about, certainly for a young family.
What was your favourite thing this week?
I think it's been the visibility on the slopes, the really wide slopes. You can see where you're going. You know, I've enjoyed the freedom of the slopes.
I think that's true. We also encountered all sorts of animals on the slopes. We came across something like 30 chamois.
Yeah, we saw them from a distance and we wouldn't have noticed them, but our instructor pointed them out to us.
There's also some mythical chicken hibernating bird that apparently does exist. I've got no idea where it is in this area. Peter's been doing some research, so perhaps he can fill you in.
It appears to be the rock ptarmigan. When I was told that birds hibernate in winter, I thought that was complete rubbish because I had no idea about that, but apparently they do. Whole areas of the mountains are closed off to the public because these are the nesting grounds. If skiers go over them, it wakes them up and then they don't have any food. So it's quite a serious situation for them.
One of the great things about the apartment is that when we sit on the balcony, you have a fantastic view of the village looking down the valley because we're that little bit higher than the other chalets in the town. So I don't mind that little walk down to the ski lift because in the evening and in the morning, it's absolutely beautiful seeing the sunset and the sunrise. It's really lovely.
It gives you a bit of the luxury chalet feeling because however big or small your apartment is, there's a really nice reception area with a grand piano, a bar, comfortable seats, sofas, etc. So you get the feeling of being in a much larger chalet.
I think that's true. I mean, what we've got here, we've got a master bedroom and bathroom, and then there's a separate double bedroom, and again, a separate bathroom and a loo. So you've really got quite a lot of space. At the same time, it's relatively compact.
So when you add the lobby area, it gives you a feeling of being in a much bigger place.
Xavier Schuller, you're MD of Peak Retreats, which specialises in providing ski drive holidays to apartments all across the French Alps.
You started Peak Retreats in 2002, I think, and your concept was, as a Frenchman, to introduce a lot of little resorts, lesser-known resorts in France, to the British public for the very first time. And that, I think, is how I heard of Le Grand Bonheur for the very first time. We loved it. Why did you choose these resorts like that? They're resorts you knew as a child, or...?
I was lucky, very privileged, to have been skiing since the age of five. And my father was in education and suffering from asthma. And the doctor said, it would be good to go to the mountain, you know, for Xavier to go to the mountain. And that's my parents decided, you know, that we were going to go skiing when I was sort of five. And after that, we all kind of enjoyed it. And, you know, we would go two, three times a year. And we visited a lot of resorts in France. We're living in Normandy, northern France. We would just drive there. And we visited a lot of resorts every year. We would visit different resorts. After that, when I was in travel and I thought, well, it'd be nice to start sort of a ski company. And I looked at all the resorts that were featured by operators in the UK. And it was like a dozen resorts that most operators, you know, had in their books. I thought, well, there's like 300 resorts in France. You know, how come nobody's featuring all these other places, you know, that I'd been to? And, you know, that's how we started.
How many resorts do you go to in France?
We've got about 85 resorts now. But when we started, we had about 25 resorts, which were totally unknown in the UK. You know, places like Le Grand Bonheur, sort of places like Samoins and other, yeah, Ossoir, exactly. There was a mixture of resorts, some were linked to big ski areas that were known to the British market. Like, I mean, Samoins, you know, people didn't know Samoins, Morillon, really, or Les Carreaux, but they knew Flaine. And these kind of satellite resorts, nobody was ever going to them. And so we introduced a lot of these resorts to the British market. I knew a lot of people before we started the business, you know, I knew quite a lot of people working for other ski tour operators because I'd been in travel for a while and, you know, I had friends in other companies. And I said to everybody, well, you know, how come you're not featuring all these little resorts exist in France? And everybody said to me, they all said the same thing. Well, we've tried, you know, there's no market. It's sort of a waste of time. You're just going to go to the wall if you base your business on that. We decided to go ahead and ignore the good advice we'd been given by people who sort of knew or thought they knew at the time. And very quickly became apparent that there was really demand for different resorts. People still enjoy the big name resorts, but there was a lot of people who wanted to discover something else in France to ski more like the French way, as you know, French people were doing.
Well, you're going skiing in France, you might as well enjoy France as well. There are resorts, I won't name them, like Merivale, where it is very British, so there's not much French influence. When we go to somewhere like Le Grand Bornand, it's great that everybody speaks French and that prices are not as ridiculous as they are in some of the high altitude resorts. And we loved it, didn't we?
Yeah, it's great. Sort of place you could live. It's a real village rather than just a holiday village, I felt.
No, exactly. When you go to places like Le Grand Bornand, firstly, it's mostly sort of French people staying there. And it's just the way it's geared in terms of experience, in terms of the restaurants, in terms of everything. You've got a chance to experience France as a holiday destination rather than some international ski resorts at the French market. So the British are the biggest foreign contingent in France, well ahead of the Dutch and the Belgian, you know, who come kind of after that. People like enjoy that they've got a sense of really being in France and not being in a just international resort where when you go to a bar, people will speak to you in English, you know, even if you've not spoken a word, they just assume you can speak English, you know, to them. And I think people like that immersion experience.
What's your most popular resort, that said, overall? How many, where you take the most guests?
Resorts like Baiser-Valandry, where you're into a really big ski area, which is the Les Arcs Paradis Ski. So we take a lot of clients there. And we also take a lot of clients to Tignes, to the lower villages. It has got, you know, the big international resorts like at Tignes Val Claret, Tignes Le Lac, but also there's the lower villages that don't tend to be as well known.
They're very attractive, the lower villages now.
They are. They've got, you know, in terms of architecture, you know, it's more of a village than just a purpose-built destination. And I think people like that. They've got the feel to be in a real village where there's a bit of charm and authenticity.
Xavier Schuller, thank you very much indeed. And maybe we'll see you on the mountain again this year sometime.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Phyllis. Yeah, no, hoping to see you on the slope very soon.
To find out more about the ski drive specialist Peak Retreats and their apartments in French resorts, go to peakretreats.co.uk. That's all for now. If you've enjoyed the show, please visit our website, actionpacktravel.com. Or you can subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or any of the many podcast platforms. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'd love you to sign up for our regular emails too at peter@actionpacktravel.com. Until next week, stay safe.
And I am you.
And you are me.
It's just a crazy storm.